Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 30 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Jim Viscardi, and today I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Guys, we made it to 30. It's a nice round number. It feels big.
It is indeed a round number.
I mean, it is.
That is a factually correct statement, Jim.
You don't think it feels big?
I mean, there's bigger numbers, like an almost infinite number of bigger numbers than 30. But yeah, no, 30's good. It's a
wow. Clearly, Christian is unimpressed.
I'm impressed. That 30's a good number.
That we've made it this long. Maybe we'll just not invite Christian.
No, this podcast wouldn't exist without me. Let's face it. I'm the star power here, of course. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I swear to God, I'm not that arrogant, guys.
If you Suddenly are new to this back. Show, I think you just got a really good snapshot into who we are and kind of what this show is about. We break the show down into three parts. First part, we talk about some quick hit news all about Pokemon cards, Pokemon games, Pokemon things, all of that we talk about in the first half. And then in the second half, we go into a deep dive. Today, obviously, we're going to be talking about Sword and Shield. So spoiler warning.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily going to be going through like a step-by-step walkthrough today of like what the game is, but Christian and Megan have beaten the game. I have not. We will be talking about things that are in the game that if you're truly sensitive to that stuff and don't want something accidentally spoiled for you, then, you know, please come back after you've played a bit more of the game. And we're going to touch on some of our favorite things, some of the things we don't like, some of the Pokedex related things, who our favorite Pokemon are, and just some random.
And both versions like will be covered. So don't think you can avoid. I mean, just know.
So it's fairly surface level stuff, but there will probably be things that will pop up here and there about certain characters and storylines and things like that. So that is a sufficient spoiler warning.
Very good. Yep.
We need like an alarm sound here.
I'm sure they all appreciated all of us just making into their ear.
You're welcome.
All right. And then at the very, very end, before we say goodbye, Christian gives us a Pokemon fact of the week to just make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. Let's jump right into it.
Yeah,
right?
let's do it.
Yes, please. There's so much to talk about.
So this first thing I feel awful for because I've only gotten to the third gym in Pokemon Sword and Shield, and someone has already beaten the game with a Wooloo.
Yep, they sure have.
Lovely.
I mean, you know, I was first and foremost, they did this with Pokemon Sword, which is impressive because Wooloo is a normal type Pokemon, and its one weakness is against fighting type Pokemon and fighting type attacks. And guess who has, you know, guess which game has the fighting type gem? Pokemon Sword. But he apparently made short work, or they, I'm not sure. They made short work of the fighting type gem because Wooloo learns a dark type attack. And so basically was just punking those people out left and right. So good on them. You know, I mean, these games aren't impossible to beat with like one common Pokemon. We used to see this all the time. Like, oh, I beat, you know, Pokemon X and Y with a Magikarp. It's doable. I mean, if you have enough healing items, anything is possible. As long as you,
I will say that there is the one thing that this game does give you a lot of. Is money.
It gives you so much money. I mean, I said that in our episode last week before Jim had played it, and I was like, it is insanely easy to just do that.
It was just
get some, like, go to the Pokemart, like, make him a rich woman or man, and just heal your Pokemon.
It's all like I got into basically the second gym, and I went to go buy some potions, and I was like, I have 75,000 Pokemon money things. How did that happen already?
Yeah.
You go wild area, man.
I'm used to penny pinching.
Yeah, same.
No, I was about to say, the only game in which I really felt flush with cash before this one was Pokemon X and Y, and that's because I would go do the, whatever is like the battle place, like the battle chateau or something like that. So I just would go and beat up rich people because it fed into my, like, you know, like I'm, you know, lower middle class and I'm really going to stick it to these richies and take all their money. So, you know, I enjoyed that part of the game and you make so much money doing that too. But in this, it's like I go through one wild area and like you enter that first city after going through the wild area once and your like bike is plated in gold. You know, you're wearing like diamond crusted like glasses. You have like a Rolex on your hand and like you can't even get Rolexes in the game. Like watches aren't an option. But yeah, you are so filthy rich. Like I have so much money. I don't even know what to do with it. And part of that is because, you know, they have Watts in this game, which is like that weird secondary income. But I even have a ton of that now, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I have so much Watts.
So, like, I have, like, all the wishing stars I could ever want. Like, I see an empty like, Dynamax den. I just throw a wishing star in just because I can. I don't even do it. I just like to see it glow. But, yeah, someone beat Pokemon Sword.
But someone beat it with Blue.
I mean, I am truly, truly proud of that person. I'm surprised Wooloo just didn't say, you know what, I personally disagree with this and just roll away. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. They just roll away from conflict. I don't understand, but I mean, good on them.
So yeah, like it'll be interesting to see. I mean, obviously, I feel like Wooloo was the clear first one for someone to try and do this with. Mm. But I'm curious to see if there are others that folks also try to do it with. Like if someone's going to beat it with the... Oh, God, I forgot what the name of that dumb squirrel-looking thing is.
Hey.
Squovit?
Don't insult my squirrel.
Squovit, yeah, Squovit. That's it.
Squovit. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's adorable.
I hate Bless. Squovit so much.
Is it because you shake on the berries and haven't figured out the trick to not make the squirrel come out of the tree yet, Jim?
Oh, no, is there a trick to do
that? Yeah, the tree starts to, like, really shake before the squirrel's going to come out. So, like, basically you shake it until it starts repeatedly shaking, and then you walk away from it.
Yes. Leave him.
It's on my to write list, but it's like one of those like, oh, this is an interesting fact, but not really like cool, and I don't really think people are like Google searching like how do I make sure the stupid squirrel doesn't attack me in trees.
Uh-huh. My favorite story about that is I was playing I have Shield, which I did the my review and run through of, but my boyfriend started playing it and he hadn't run into the issue yet. He just lucked out, never run into it. And the first time he ran into the squirrel coming out of the tree fighting you with the berries, he like legitimately like screamed. He was like so like, because he didn't expect it.
Yeah.
And he was like, what in the? And I was like, it's just a squirrel. It's just a squirrel.
Actually, the its evolved form has to be one of the most hilariously dumb things I've ever seen in this game. Like, you know, it's just a big fat squirrel with berries stuffed up its tail, but it kind of looks like something else when, like, you know, it faints and all the berries come out of it, you know, as it gets, you know, disappears. Mm-hmm. It definitely does not look like those berries are coming out of its tail, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no. Poor squirrel.
All right, let's not go. I want to go too far into Sword and Shield, because we do have some other stuff to hit. Let's save it for that. Moving on to Pokemon Go, super effective week. Event?
That is definitely an event that is going on right now.
Like, what the hell?
It's basically, so the big draw of it is that if you use a super effective charge attack in a gym battle, there's a field research task that you can complete, which is use a super effective charge attack in a gym battle, and you can get a tentacle with the chance for it to be shiny. Basically, they added shiny tentacle, and therefore shiny tentacle. It's actually one of the cooler looking ones because it has like green things on its head instead of red things on its head. And that's basically like the only real difference to it. So it looks pretty cool. It's one of the better shinies from the first generation, in my opinion. So yeah, go and get it. That's the event. That's
it.
That's basically it. Yeah.
I will say this on Twitter. I don't know how many people have done this before or who've like publicly come forward with it, but I saw a bunch of people in the Pokemon community talking about one of these players, and I can't remember their name, has officially caught 1 million Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's insane.
Like, that's insane.
That's a lot of Pokemon.
Like, when you can go check your trainer stats and tells you how many Pokemon you've caught, they're at like 1 million something hundred. And nice. I was like, you're still going?
Now,
like, you hit a million?
Now I'm
like,
how
and
many
you're
up.
Still going? Like, I know I'm not even. I mean, who is close to that?
I'm trying to look. Like, I'm a level 39 player who's basically played every single day up until this last week. And I am
How are you not a level 40 player?
I don't understand that either.
Like, it takes like 5 million XP to get to level 40. Between like level 39 and level 40, and I've really slacked off.
But you've been playing for like 12 years.
Yeah, but like, I'm like...
Well, the game's...
Like, you know,
do
define,
some math here, Jim.
Define play. Do some... Like, you know, like my playing yeah. is like, you know, like I've caught my one Pokemon, I've completed my one task, and I am done for the day. I've really slacked off since I lost my, I'm trying to find... Nope, that's my buddy.
I just like him having trouble like quantifying a million Pokemon. Like, how I want to know more so than catching a million Pokemon. How many times has that person opened the app? Yeah. Like, I wish there was a tracker for that. Like, the amount of energy.
Like, instead of like if you have iPhones, instead of that screen time allure yeah. that you get, like, you've spent 5 hours a day on your phone. It's
yeah.
like,
you have opened this app 7 million times. Like, I'm just desperately curious. I also want to know, like, you've caught a million Pokemon. Now, like, can we get like a breakdown of what you've caught?
I've caught.
How many have you caught?
I've caught 26,998 for reference.
That's ridiculous. And this was a level 40 player. I can't remember what their like buddy
I'm
Pokemon
sure,
was. But anyways,
I'm sure they were like...
I just wanted to...
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to let everybody listening to this know that someone out there has caught a million Pokemon and we have all fallen behind
yeah,
them.
We are definitely and, slacking.
Like, yes.
Like,
we are...
I bet like the entire city of Nashville hasn't caught a million Pokemon collectively yet. I mean, that's an insane number. I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. If, like, someone, like, you know, like I said, I'm probably, I wouldn't call myself, like, a hardcore player, but I'm definitely, like, a, like, casual plus. And if I've only caught, like, 27,000, you know, like, maybe the hardcore player has maybe caught, like, 50,000, maybe. Yep. And there's not that many of those people who are like super dedicated, I will catch my 100 Pokemon a day type of people in this game. You know, that's just, yeah. that's not the point of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you've caught like over Christian's record of 26,000, please find us.
I want to find, please. I want to find the listener that has the most, like one, what listener that has the most. Yep. So
yeah.
take a screenshot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tag the three of us on Twitter.
Please.
And let's see which one of you has the most.
And for the record.
Yes, and then I'm going to DM you with a series of interview questions. I have questions for you.
For the record, so. If you want to know how many Pokemon you've caught in this game, because it doesn't pop up like automatically, you have to kind of look for it. Go to your medals, and it's the collector medal, which is the Pokeball with shiny stars on it. So that's how you mm-hmm. find out how many Pokemon you've caught in total. Just, you know,
yes.
for those, since we're encouraging people to go and do this, they probably should know how.
It's like, how do we do this? All right. Looking
Figure
forward to hearing from you.
But yeah, super effective week. That is also something that happened this week.
The anime started this week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The anime is so good.
It was only mildly depressing. As opposed to, like, totally depressing. Like,
it didn't begin like Tarzan, where, like, you see Pikachu's parents get, like, mercilessly taken
yeah.
out by, like, a... I don't even know what. So, yeah, the new episode came out. The big news is, I mean, I've been the biggest proponent on this podcast of the Pokemon anime being simulcast in America. Well, they're kind of sort of doing it now. They're not going to be releasing English subbed or English dubbed simulcast, but every week... The newest Pokemon episode will be uploaded in full to YouTube on the official Japanese Pokemon YouTube
oh, wow.
channel. So you can watch it. You may have no idea what's happening, but you'll be able to at least kind of watch and get context clues. So the first episode, the premiere episode of this new episode is out. You can watch it. I have watched it twice so far. The animation, gorgeous. The opening sequence is by far the best to ever happen. It has Ash dancing, and he's doing, like, the, like, the most outdated, like, stanky leg and stuff. It's just the most adorable thing. I don't even know. I don't even know how to describe it. I just fully encourage everyone listening to this podcast to watch it. It gives...
Can you give me cliff notes on how we what we learned about baby Pikachu?
Oh, man. We learned... So, baby Pikachu is, first, the tiniest Pichu, I think, that has ever existed. He's just out searching the forest. He doesn't have a family of his own. He doesn't have a pack. He sees all these Pokemon, like Butterfree's, chilling together, and he really wants a family. So he winds up being adopted by this really lovely Kangaskhan and her little young. And, you know, she feeds him huge berries, which is definitely how fat Pikachu came to be. 10 out of 10. He got some bad habits, but it's fine. You know, he was eating like a Kangaskhan. But during the time, you know, he wasn't fully accepted into the whole Kangaskhan brood. And his adopted mother got kind of like pushed out of the picture, but he had such a high friendship level with them. And it all kind of started to fall apart when one day the mother was prioritizing Pichu over her own, you know, her own young, and her own young fell off a cliff.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so all the Kangaskhan and Pichu were watching this poor little baby Kangaskhan like falling.
Oh,
and
my God.
The only reason it survived was Mew came out of literally nowhere.
Oh.
Like froze time, saved the Kangaskhan baby. Everyone reunited. It was fine. But it was at that time Pichu realized like he didn't need to be so like reliant on family. It was time for him to kind of go out from the nest. So in the saddest scene ever, during, you know, nighttime, everyone's asleep. Kangaskhan's asleep. The baby's asleep. Pichu's in the pouch with his adopted mom. He wakes up, crawls out, goes to the edge of the cave where everyone is. He starts crying, remembering all of the great friendship moments he had with his adopted family and the gang. And, you know, and then he's just like, Pichu, Pichu, Pikachu. And he evolves under the full moon in the middle of the night. It's so pretty. And then, you know, he gives a final farewell to Kangaskhan waves and he runs. He leaves. He leaves the forest, gets on the route. And then the next time you see him, you know, he's with Professor Oak and he's being introduced to Ash and electrocutes the crap out of the poor boy. So it's such a really, really pretty episode. And woven in between, we see the young protagonist, not Ash, because he overslept because he's a slacker. Clearly.
True.
I love him, JK. But we meet a young Go and the young female protagonist who are on this camp with Professor Oak, and they have their run-ins with each other. So it is
nice.
It is a great episode.
I'm gonna have to go watch
it. It is action-packed. I love it. I very much, suggest you watch it.
You know, first episode, boom, hey, here's Mew.
I know.
I liked that they did two very important things that they did in this episode. First of all, we got our cliff dive out of the way. Like, it's kind of a tradition in the Pokemon anime that some Pokemon falls off a cliff and gets saved. Like, usually it's like Ash, like, free diving to save Pikachu. That's, like, happened, like, four times. But this time, it was a baby's Kangaskhan. Mew saved the day. The other thing is it gets rid of that stupid fan theory, which I've always hated, which is like, oh, Pikachu's first trainer was actually Ash's dad, or actually it was Professor Oak, or actually it was like this random character. It's like, I've seen so many variants of that stupid fan theory, and I'm glad like they've taken it out back, and it went to Grandma's farm, never to be seen again. It's fantastic. Like, I'm glad that we have a definitive answer. That no, like, you know, Ash's missing father is Ash, actually Pikachu's original trainer, or no, was actually like Ryan Reynolds in Detective Pikachu, or, you know, like whatever. Like seriously, that is like, there are like 100 variants of the same stupid fan theory. And like, the answer is easy. He didn't have a first trainer because back when this Pikachu got introduced, there was no such thing as Pichu. Like, just deal with it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just don't think about it too much. That's the key. Mm-hmm. And if you are going to think about it too much, don't come up with stupid fan theories. Like, really dumb fan theories. Like, I'm okay with, like, your normal level of dumb fan theories. Like, let's be clear. I'm a big believer in fan theories. I just don't like the bad ones. And this one was a bad one. So I'm glad. Like, the Pokemon anime was, like, finally, like, yeah, I'm sick of this. Like, that would have been, like, the very first thing I would have done. If they put me in charge of the Pokemon franchise, the first thing I would have done was, like, figured out a way to do, like, oh, here's how Pichu actually evolved. Shut up. And the second thing I would have done is, like, bring back Serena. So...
the word's out on that. But yeah, if you want to watch this, it's on YouTube. It's free to watch. Each week, the new episode will be uploaded to YouTube on the official Japanese Pokemon channel. Definitely encourage you to watch it. And then, of course, Hoffer and I will be putting up coverage here with translated information. So you can watch the episode, see how pretty it is, get really confused about what happened, and then we'll tell you what happened.
So this next bit is more of a Pokemon adjacent news. Just that Niantic, the creator of Pokemon Go, is apparently working on a Catan AR game.
Yeah, this one. That is definitely a thing that is happening. I found this yesterday. It hasn't been announced yet, but the website is live. So for those of you who don't know what Catan is, it is a very popular board game in which players compete to build like competing settlements on the island of Catan. And in order to do that, you trade different resources, which include like wood, wool, or wood, sheep, bricks, or, and there's one other one that I can't think of off the top of my head. So basically it's this big gateway game to the wild world of like real tabletop games beyond like Candyland, Monopoly and stuff. So that's, you know, it's holds a very dear place in a lot of people's hearts, especially for those who are big tabletop fans like myself. So when I found out that Pokemon were about to get like Catan Go, actually it's called Catan World Explorers, but it's by Niantic, so they've basically moved on from Harry Potter.
Did that ever actually begin?
Is this going to be better or worse than Harry Potter?
I mean, it's so sad. It can't be worse than Harry Potter.
I see a million of those Harry Potter ads on Reddit. Like, they're just pushing it so hard.
I occasionally get, like, PR emails. It's like, we're doing an event. It's like,
they got to pay for that license somehow.
It's like, well, yeah, and apparently how they're doing that is by making a Catan game. I mean, I think that Catan actually works with the AR system, like, a lot better than, like, Harry Potter does. Like, Harry Potter, as an AR franchise, makes no sense. Like, Pokemon makes sense because it's that collecting, you know, you're collecting stuff. Like, Harry Potter, it's like, you're collecting memories. Or, like, hey, go and collect this time that Harry Potter almost got eaten by a soulless devil creature. Or, hey, do you remember that time that, like, you know, Snape died? Collect that. It's a terrible concept. I'm sorry. But with Catan, you're collecting resources and you're trading resources and stuff like that. So it makes a lot more sense as an AR game. Like, I cannot wait to, you know, ask somebody if they want wood for their sheep. So I can't wait. It's going to be great.
All right. Well, let's take our bets now. Like, better performing than Wizarding World?
It has to be better.
I mean, I think that the license for this is going to be a lot cheaper, too. Like, you know.
Well, yes. I'm talking about, like, downloads and, like, sustained users.
I think that it's going to probably have, like, a lower user base. But, like, I think they're aiming for this to be, like, they're a new version of Ingress, which has a very dedicated fan base. This game is going to actually be built around head-to-head competition between teams, which is something that, you know, you don't see in Pokemon Go, or I don't think you see in Harry Potter. Who knows? Because no one plays it. You know, you don't really see, like, head-to-head competition. Like, yeah, you can, like, battle for control of gyms, but everyone works together. In this Catan game, you're competing to build your settlements and stuff against another team, and that they're going to have like competitive seasons. And at the end of those seasons, the winners get benefits for the next season.
Yeah, I definitely side with Hoffer here. Definitely a smaller fan base, obviously, compared to Pokemon. I think it'll be bigger than Harry Potter, but it will be super loyal.
Yeah.
I mean, the people who I know who play Catan and play Catan, They play it. So, yeah.
All right. Dedicated. Before we get to our deep dive, I want to bring up this one thing because I was thinking about this this morning. Uh-oh. When I was in the shower.
Oh, no.
And it's the topic of nicknames for Pokemon.
Okay. Mm.
Do you use them?
Never.
I use them in my second playthrough. So my first playthrough, I keep with the species names. For the second playthrough, I use nicknames in order to differentiate so I know which Pokemon came from which playthrough of the game.
Interesting.
I don't get the appeal of nicknames.
I can, like, understand it as, like, the personalization, especially when I was a kid. Because, like, when I was younger and I had my older brother, he would nickname them, like, all the time. And I was like, that's dumb. Why did you do that? You named your Onyx Rocky. Like, what the heck? But, like, now that I'm older, like, seeing, like, my boyfriend's, like, his nephews or, like, my younger cousins, like, they do it. I'm like, oh, that's cute, because they go around, like, holding plushes of the Pokemon they've caught in-game, and they'll, like, call it that nickname.
Oh, that's cute.
Like, I think, like, that's, it's stupid cute, I will confess. But I'm just personally not a fan, but I understand the personalization cuteness idea.
Well, and also...
Or, like, the differentiation, but, like, I don't know. It's weird to me.
I think that we look at it... I think people who don't use the nicknames... draw heavy inspiration from the anime, because mm-hmm. you know how Richie had his Sparky, and that's the number of main like characters that have actually nicknamed their Pokemon. But you know, I think for those who kind of have a different relationship with the Pokemon franchise that isn't necessarily so heavily inspired by the anime, I can see that. I mean, because think of it, if you consider these things to be your pets, you know, like do you yeah. call your cat cat, do you call your dog dog? I mean sometimes I know people who actually do that, like one of my friend's cats is named Baby Kitten despite the fact it's a cat. You know, like
beautiful.
It's,
that did not age well.
But you know, I know people who are like, oh yeah, that's my cat, Red Cat. And it's like, okay, it's not really red. It's like, yeah, it's red enough. And you know, I know people who are like that, but like other people, like, you know, name their cats like very fanciful nicknames. And so I see it both ways. Like I said, I do both. For my first one, I don't do the nickname. I personally am very, dependent on, the anime. That's how I picture this franchise in general. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. for my second playthrough, it's mainly, part of it is just a, like, I need, you know, something to differentiate these Pokemon when I know to transfer them, like, where they go and where they came from. And I realized that was a really good way of doing things.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like the pet analogy, but yeah, mm-hmm. I don't use them.
And I view my Pokemon as pets.
Yeah, you.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's because your favorite is a rock. I mean, that's why.
I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, that's almost worse. If you don't view him as a pet, what do you view him as?
As friends.
Okay, he views them as weapons to be used at his will and leisure.
So you call your friends, friends one, friend two, friend three. I have seven friends named Pikachu. Or Rapidash in my case, actually, let's be honest here. I'm on that boat. Yeah, I like that. I mean, it would be weird if I was just like calling my cat cat. I love her being Willow and A+, but yeah, interesting. If you, again, where this is a huge like call out episode, I keep calling out everyone listening. If you nickname your Pokemon, again, hit all of us up and explain why. I'm really curious because like I've already started my second playthrough like post-game for sure of S.H.I.E.L.D. But like now I kind of want to start nicknaming just to see like if mm-hmm. I can like latch onto it. So please convince me.
Yeah, For me, like I said, it's always been whenever Pokemon have been referenced, even if someone has like, it's Brock's Onix, it's mm-hmm. Misty's Staryu or whatever. Like it's never been like that. It's Ash's Pikachu, et cetera. But also at the same time, I'm just like, and I couldn't remember if this happens or not because I haven't done like a PvP battle in like forever, basically. But if you are battling against someone, does it say like when you're in a trainer battle, so and so is about to send whatever?
Well, they say they name the Pokemon, so like it's like they're mm-hmm. about to send out Pikachu, but then when they actually throw out the Pikachu, the dialogue says, you know, come out, Sparky.
Okay. Exactly. Because to me, I'd be like, oh, well, that would be an interesting way to mask what type of Pokemon you're throwing out next so someone can't switch out to, you know, for an advantage type. Like, to me, like, that, I feel like that is totally fair thing to do.
Well, in most PvP, PvP battles, you do not have the option to switch out when someone, when one of your Pokemon faints. Or when one of your opponent's Pokemon faints, you do not have the ability to switch in a Pokemon. You know, it's basically seen as, okay, if you're going to switch out to try to get that type advantage, they get the free turn. So, you know, they don't really do that. I mean, there's a way, like there's an option to do it that way, but the default isn't to do it like that. Just because we were
I have gone through maybe four games where I have not had a PvP battle.
I'm not surprised.
So so like I said, it's been a while for me. All right, well, when we get back, let's talk about Sword and Shield. I think it's about time to do that, right?
Yeah.
Please.
All right, so stay tuned. We're gonna go all in on Sword and Shield.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right.
Okay.
Should we just get favorite Pokemon out of
Well,
the way
I'd like to start this conversation by relating a conversation I had with Jim when, like, the leaks were starting to come out a couple of, like, a week or two ago. So we were, like, knee-deep, and, like, I think me and Megan had had the games at this point, but, like, the leaks had come out a couple of days, and Jim goes, wait a second, is this true? And he posts a link of, like, all the Pokemon that aren't in the game. He's like, there's no Geodude in this. Oh no, this game's going to be awful.
Are you telling me Geodude's in
no,
the game?
No, it's not. And the games are so much better for it.
Well, what the hell?
I mean, they're not. They're not in the game. I mean, they had like a very nice like spotlight last time. You know, the Golem actually became useful as a railgun. And Stop. So therefore we no longer need to see that Pokemon species has reached its apex and will never be featured in another Pokemon game again. And I think that the franchise is better for it. So let's pour one out for Golem, never see it again, and good riddance. Anyways, what's your favorite Pokemon, guys?
I mean, in terms of new Pokemon, well, so in terms of like full on, like brand new, not a Galarian variant or anything, like as predicted, Yamper is my best boy.
Really?
Yamper?
Out of all of them,
Yamper is my first, and I well, so in my beginning when I went through the game and I did the champions battles and like the Elite Four-esque, you know, semifinals and stuff, Bolton was number one for me, which is the evolution of Yamper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like level, I think he's like level 75 at this point. He's so powerful. He like now I keep him in my last slot with my XP share because like he doesn't need to hog all of it, but like. I take him out and I will one shot you.
Wow.
Like Bolton, because the electric dark type has just worked so well with me and like the move sets that I've got. I really, with this game, tailored that.
This game
But
has
in terms
a lot
of Galarian variants, Rapidash.
Rapidash is Rapidash. A really cool looking Pokemon.
Oh my gosh. Looks like cotton candy.
it's a great Pokemon. I absolutely love, like, the Ponytas are adorable, and like Rapidash is like, I'm a rainbow and I could kill you, yes, but I choose not to.
Yeah,
it's like the Pokemon version of Galadriel, and I love it. It's like, yeah, deep right. dive, nerds.
Yeah. So those are my picks.
All right, Jim, what's your favorite new Pokemon of like the five you've seen so far?
Can you guess?
Roly-Poly.
Oh, it's absolutely Roly-Poly.
Actually, I mean that's a great Pokemon. I
it is.
That is definitely one of my favorite too. I love it's.
I only have a Carcol right now, I really.
You know what happens.
I know.
So I had some friends over the other weekend when I was like doing the playthrough, when I was like playing through it, and so like I was just like sitting there, I was playing the game in the background, and like, you know, one of my friends like looks over, he's like, wait a second, do you have a Colcart as a Pokemon? I'm like, I do in fact have a Colcart as a Pokemon. And it's like, what does it look like from the front? I'm like, It's a car. It's a coal cart with a face. Like, what do you think it looks like? Duh. No, Colossal. Colossal was like surprisingly one of the MVPs of my team. It was.
Yes.
Definitely. Probably my second most used Pokemon, to be 100% honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I used it a lot. It was the Pokemon that got me through all the battles against. In the late game, I won't spoil, you know, do too many spoilers because Jim doesn't know who the actual bad guy of the game is yet because he doesn't ever.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I do know. I mean, I'm going to go out here and say I'm almost 100% positive it is Rose.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. I was about to say, I know you don't read.
They make it pretty obvious.
From the first, the first conversation you have with him, I sat on my couch and I was holding my cat and they introduced me to Rose. I looked at her and I went, that's the bad guy. I mean, it's so obvious.
Yeah, this is the second straight generation of games where we've gotten like the twist where the team isn't actually the bad guys. You know, we got that with Team Skull, where Team Skull was just a nuisance, and like Team Yell isn't even like they're not even like really bad guys.
I love Team Yell. They are so British and apologetic.
It was super apparent to me. After the second gym, so after Nessa, when like his assistant is super pushy and obnoxious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't keep him waiting. Well, and I was like, all right, I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I just love it.
His scheme makes no sense. Like, I wrote an article about it today because, you know, the more and more I think about it, it's like, man, this guy's a freaking moron. Like, just terms of like ludicrous Pokemon plots, like, we've had. You know, stuff like, you know, like Pokemon Emerald and Ruby is, or Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire is literally a, like, oh, we need to, you know, like, burn off the oceans. And it's literally a Lex Luthor land scheme. Like, it's literally the plot of Superman 1 or Superman 4. And then, you know, like, we've had, like, really dumb games. Or, like, the ones like, yes, we need to create a super weapon to kill all of humanity. And also their Pokemon, in order for the Pokemon to live. It's like, that makes no sense. But this one, this game, might have the dumbest villain plot of all time. Like, in terms of just sheer stupidity. Yeah, Rose is a moron. Also, Leon should be in prison. That's another Pokemon.
Wow.
You can read about why Leon should be in prison by the end of this game at comicbook.com. Just look up the article that's entitled Leon should be in prison.
Strong take. But like, I'm not necessarily going to ding it. I will say though, as much as I was disappointed by like the actual like story and villains, the final legendary, which we won't talk too in depth about if you've not beaten the game yet, I was just so upset. I don't know why, but I was expecting something like super great. And I was just, I personally felt really let down by the final legendary that you battle.
I thought,
in fact, I put it in the last spot of my Pokeboxes. Like, it's in the very last
I never
spot.
Want to I see like, you again. Go and time honestly, out and think about what you did.
Honestly, that's basically what
my,
I did.
My big issue with it is, so like, you know, not to, like, I don't mind the fact, like, you know, I'm convinced this thing is like a lost Ultra Beast. Like, you know, when we get, like...
I know! It's very much what it feels
when,
like.
When, like, Pokemon, like, Spear comes out, like, you know, that's totally going to be what it is. It's like, yes, this is actually an Ultra Beast, guys. Because it looks like an Ultra Beast. It feels like an Ultra Beast. It radiates evil energy like an Ultra Beast. It's probably an Ultra Beast. But my big issue was there was no... There is no, like, build-up to it. Like, the plot goes...
I know.
The plot goes, like, yeah, Chairman Rose is doing some weird stuff with, like, he's, like, maybe building an energy plant or something? I don't know, guys. Like, don't worry about it. Just, like, complete your gym challenge. Like, try not to get killed by these overpowered Pokemon in the wild area. Have fun. And so it's like, oh, by the way, there's actually a legendary Pokemon that Rose is trying to take over, and... You know, things have gone sideways, and we need you, a 10-year-old boy, to stop it. Or 10-year-old girl. You know, a 10-year-old child to stop it. And it's like, wait, what? What? Where did this legendary Pokemon come from? It's like, yeah, actually, there's just a legendary Pokemon. We've never spoken about it. It's in the basement. And it's like, what?
It's just been what? There.
Wait, how? It's like, don't ask questions. Here's a Pokeball to catch it. It's like...
I know. It's like, okay.
Like, I've never seen, like, just an 11th hour twist like this. It's like, okay, Rose is the bad guy. It's like, yeah, I can build into that. his scheme makes no sense. Like, well, that's pretty typical. By the way, here's an evil legendary. It's like, excuse me?
There's something about the legend, like just the legendary, because I've read sort of through all the story, and so I know what all sort of happens. But like, it still sort of blows my mind that when you look at some of the designs for these things, I like the designs of Zamazenta and
Zacian.
Yeah. But this other one, man, what's going on?
I know. It
like I said, like I think it's pretty nuts. I don't hate the design. I think it's very out of place with everything in the Galar region. Like it's
very
like,
much it's so. Like, it looks like evil Rayquaza, yeah. But like as like a third rate evil Rayquaza. Well,
it looks like evil like undead Rayquaza. It's like, oh, by the way, guys, here's a Dracolich Pokemon. Like, you know, like that's basically what it's like. Here's your zombie dragon. And it's like, what the hell is this stuff? I mean, it's just outplayed. It's like, oh, here's this delightful teacup Pokemon. And by the way, here is something that looks like it's a spaceship from a Mobius comic. It's like, what? You know, like it looks like something that came out of like a Valerian, like that Valerian movie that came out two years ago. Man, I'm going deep in French comics today, guys.
Can we talk about some of the other Galarian forms for a second? Because
please.
It kind of blows my mind that Galarian Meowth
my
does not
Pokemon.
Evolve into a Galarian Persian.
So this is my favorite new Pokemon of the bunch is Perzerker, who was my MVP. In this entire game, I was very shocked that like I had Perzerker because, one, Perzerker is basically Wolverine. Okay, it's got retractable claws that turn into swords. It wears a cowl with, like, you know, horns, you know, because it's literally a metal Viking. I mean, I love the idea that, like, you know, it's like this Meowth was changed as it, like, rode the seas with Vikings coming to invade Galarian monasteries and, like, take over, like, you know, to do raids. And Meowth's like, clearly the Persian thing isn't really going to do it. I'm going to need swords, guys. But I like when like the Meowth first like showed up, like, you know, so the Meowth leaked a couple weeks ago. I was like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And then like I saw it from the side and it's a beard. Like Meowth doesn't have like a hairy body. It's not like this big fluffy body. It's a freaking beard. And I was like, this Pokemon is mine. This is mine now. Like, this is my, like, new... Since Bulbasaur's not in this game, I need a new favorite. It's like, I've adopted Galarian Meowth. And then when it evolved into Perzerker, I was like, this is the craziest stupid Pokemon ever. And it's like, mwah, mwah. Like, I love you so much. And he also really comes through for me. Like, he has, like, battle armor and stuff. Like, he has all sorts of, like, really great things. Like, I think that... If I remember correctly, he has the battle armor ability, which means that he doesn't take criticals.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a...
Like, and he's a steel type, that's so impressive. He doesn't take damage from, like, 90% of moves aren't effective against it.
Of all things, it's hilarious to imagine that in Pokemon Sword and Shield, the OP Pokemon is Meowth. Yeah. Galarian Meowth. I will say, I was very surprised with how useful the Galarian Ponyta and Rapidash is, because it is a psychic type and stuff, but, like... does like some pretty decent damage in battles. I was able to utilize it pretty well. I will say though, as excited as I was for Galarian Weezing, I hate him.
Yeah.
I hate him. I hate him. Like, I don't know if I've ever had such like biased hatred towards a Pokemon, but there's no point. There's no point in Galarian Weezing other than to add him to your
Pokemon. Weezing, Galarian Weezing was one of those Pokemon where I was really excited to get. And so when I got it, I like tried using it. I was like, oh, it's trash. Oh, well.
It's so trash.
I was like,
trash.
I patted it on its little smokestack. I'm like, to the box with you. Go and do some Poke Jobs for me and earn me some cash.
Its number one goal is to kill itself.
Yeah, it's...
Basically, like, it's all of its moves are suicidal.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. It took me 26 times to catch the Galarian Weezing because it would just keep killing
itself. This is a thing that's in the game. So this gets into a frustration I had yesterday. So I was trying to catch Gigalith, which is a Pokemon I've never gotten before because it's a Pokemon that you need to trade for in order to get. And I don't like trading with people because they always screw me. So like I was like, finally, I shall get this Pokemon and add it to my living Pokedex. And so I had a max raid battle. tried it three times with people, and we lost every single time due to the dumbest things. Like, one time somebody used a wood hammer to knock it out, but it knocked the Rillaboom out too, and that was our fourth out. So, despite the fact that we killed it, we got kicked out of the raid. So, I'm like, you know what? After, like, the third time, after spending, like, literally 40 minutes doing this, I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'm just going to keep going about my life, living my champion life. And so I'm, like, walking through the Dusty Bowl, and there's a Gigalith. I'm like, I'm going to catch you, and I'm going to add you to my collection. So I get this stupid little freaking walking rock down to half health, and what does the sucker do? He explodes! There was no need for it! You had so much health! So much health!
No, that's exactly what happened to me.
So I was, like, so pissed off. I was having, like, a bad day to begin with. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, in my bed. Like, I'm going to catch you, and I'm going to find the most demeaning polka jobs for you to do. It's like, oh, like, guys, we need someone to clean up Yamper poop. I'm like, Gigalith, go and do it.
Yeah, no. As angry as you just heard Hoffer be there, that's how I felt with wheezing 26 times in a row.
That leads me into one of the things that I absolutely love about this game. Two things. One, I love the fact that there's a lot of Pokemon now available in the wild that have never been available in the wild before. I honestly think that is, like, one of the best things to ever happen to the Pokemon franchise. I love the fact that I can catch Gengar now. I love the fact I can catch Machamp. Mm-hmm. I love the fact I can catch Pokemon that I would usually need to trade with an item attached to it. Which is, like, how can you even find something? Like, unless you have an actual friend who plays Pokemon, which, you know, is easy if you're a child, a lot difficult if you're 30 years old.
You have us, Christian. You can trade with us.
Yeah, but, you know, that means I have to, like, have social functions with you, Jim. And, you know.
Hey, I need a Surfer. Yeah,
actually, I need
to give you your Rapidash.
I actually have a Surfetch for you. I'm just waiting.
And I have a Ponyta ready.
Like, that
for
was,
you.
Like, one of the first things that I did when I found the area with Surfetch. I'm like, I have one for me, and I have one for Megan. It's like, I was, like, running around, and, like, my wife was watching. She's like, why are you still, like, in this area? I think you've caught all the Pokemon. Like, I need another Surfetch so I can get my Ponyta.
It is equivalent
it's like,
exchange
yeah, it's like, here. It's like, we have a quid pro quo going on here.
Yeah, no, I love the wild area. I said it in the last episode, and I'll say it again. The wild area. Well,
that was it. Like, the thing I ran into was, like, I spent so much time my first time in the wild area that all my Pokemon all of a sudden were, like, basically level 20. And then I had not fought the first gym battle yet. And I was like, oh, no. And so my Scorbunny, which is not a Scorbunny at that point. I forget what the middle one
was. Yeah,
Raboot. Is basically 20 on the verge of 21. So I'm like, I had to stick him in a box to be like, you can't go over 20. Otherwise you're not going to listen to me. And then I was just like sort of stuck. And so then I get to that gym battle and he levels up in the middle of the gym battle. And I'm like, oh, and so I'm like literally on the last Pokemon and I need him to just listen to me and he will not. he decided not to. And I'm like, no. And that happened for like my Corvisquire did the same thing. And I'm just like, oh, come on.
You can't do this to me. Not on the first gym.
Right? Exactly. And then I was just like, and then I was like, oh, okay, well now I beat the first gym. Maybe now I can go, because I really wanted to get a Ghastly. And all the Ghastly in the wild area were like level 26. And I was like, so I had to go beat the second gym to go and finally catch my...
That happened to me, except with a Duskull. I went to go get a Duskull, and it was after my first or second gym, and I was like, oh, I really need a ghost Pokemon. I'm just going to la-di-da. And I didn't have any Pokeballs, and I was like, he's like level 32.
Just destroyed. Just
like, he did. I had this. I systematically watched my entire party die because I was like, I can't run away from you. You're level 32. And I just sat there and I was like, just
this
kill
is
me.
The reason
I can't run away.
I had Wooloo for like the first like three or four times I had, like, I went into the wild area. I had Wooloo in my party specifically because Wooloo has an ability that guarantees that we'll always run away. Like, you will always get away safely. So if you are worried about your Pokemon getting brutally murdered in the wild area, simply carry a Wooloo with you, and he will ensure that you escape.
Do you have to? Does the Wooloo have to be out?
Yeah. That's its ability. Its ability is roll away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he just little tucks his legs in, curls like, his head down, and
then he like rolls backwards, and he like takes you in. You get stuck in its like wool, and the two of you just go boop 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 boop.
He is your safety. He is your safety blanket.
We are running out of bit of time. Obviously, we are going to be talking about some.
Yeah, I don't even know.
There's so much to talk about.
God, I know.
So much to talk about. One of the last comments I wanted to make is I love the gym puzzles.
Yes.
I've only had three, but I thought like they are just, it's a very cool aspect to the game that doesn't force you to fight 45 trainers before getting to, the gym leader.
Nessa's was great. I love that. If it reminded me so very much of like Zelda, and I was getting so frustrated. Mm-hmm. I love the Wooloo challenge.
The Wooloo challenge is amazing.
The Wooloo challenge is great. I will 900% back that. And I won't describe this one for Jim or any of the because it's a later gym, but the ice.
Well, see, ice do lady. You have Sword or Shield?
I have Shield.
Okay. I was about to say, because I didn't have ice. I had rock instead, and that one sucked.
The ice one also sucked. I
bet it's the same thing. They just switched out like the.
I'm gonna text you after this, Hopper. We'll figure it out. But yeah, no, ice was like, it took me forever. Mm. But it was just like I loved it. I wasn't frustrated.
Yeah.
So,
no, it's great. Challenges. Great. This is a really solid game. Like I get some of the frustrations about like, oh, there's you can't get all 900 Pokemon species. But like when you're playing through that game, like you don't care. Like, you really don't. Yeah. Like, it's more of, like, a now. Like, now I've got, like, I think 260 of the 400 Pokemon. And it's like, this is where I'm going to actually run out of things to do here. But, you know, like, I love it. It's a great game. I've had a lot of fun the last 2 weeks. Like, literally, Pokemon's the only reason why I've, like, not been, like, just in my bed for the last 2 weeks, like, crying. So thank you, Pokemon. you have truly salvaged what's been a horrible month for me.
All right, Christian, hit us with the Pokemon Fact of the Week.
So we're continuing our quest down the Pokedex. This week we're getting to the Pidgey line. So today is about Pidgeotto. Now Pidgeotto doesn't have really anything too interesting about it biologically. Like, you know, it eats execute. That's the interesting thing. Yeah, aww. you wouldn't expect that it eats eggs as a bird. But you know, I guess it likes the taste of scrambled execute. But Pidgeotto's name, there's a reason why it's called Pidgeotto, and what is it?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. It sounds Italian.
It is Italian. It is. The Italian word for 18, which is the level in which Pidgey evolves into Pidgeotto, is, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but it's Disiotto, I believe it's, and so they took the Otto, O-T-T-O, And put it into Pidgeotto's name. And obviously, we've butchered the pronunciation of Pidgeotto because, you know, that's how we do everything in the Pokemon franchise. But that is where that's likely where we get that word from, where Pidgeotto gets its Oto from, is because of 18.
I love it. I love it even more knowing that it's just a little bit more Italian. Yeah.
It is the most Italian of birds in the Pokemon universe. When we get the Pokemon game, like, that's region is set in Italy. Pokemon.
Oh, it's going to be Pidgeys everywhere.
It's going to be Pokemon
Jim's
going
spaghetti to lose his
Pokemon
mind.
Meatball.
Be like Lady and the Tramp with like Yamper and another Pokemon just sharing the spaghetti.
I would love a Pokemon game set in Italy.
Actually a little bit terrified. I'd really hate to see the Pokemon version of the Catholic Church. As a Catholic, I really don't want to see, like, it's like, actually, the Pope is the bad guy in this. It's like, one, it's like, we saw that in Assassin's Creed. And two, it's like, oh, come on, guys. Like,
it'd be, like that one, it would be real, like, even just from, like, a maps, you know, standpoint, would be really cool to see, with just, like,
imagine
texture and all that.
Like, if, like, the city of Venice, and, like, you're just swimming through the whole place. Oh, man, I'll still never forget when I was in Venice and I almost knocked over.
All right, Pokemon Company, Italy's next. Make it happen.
Italy's next. Come on. I support this.
Although I can see them doing
it. It's
going to
be Pokemon Australia next. We're going to get a kangaroo. Yeah.
Just giant spiders. Yeah. All the legendaries are spiders.
It's just like, oh, yeah, no, it's a giant dingo. It's like, Wait, how is this different than the dogs from the last one? These ones eat your babies.
Aww. Spiders, kangaroos, and dingoes, apparently.
Like, it's just like awful like snakes and scorpions, and just everything tries to kill you. It's the Pokemon franchise. It's the natural evolution of the Pokemon franchise.
If you're new to this show, new shows come out every Thursday. So in case you're picking this up on a Saturday or a Tuesday or a Monday, new episodes are on Thursday. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts can be found. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it. There's podcasts there. I mean, you're not dumb. You found this one way or the other, and we are probably there. Just make sure you hit that subscribe button because you don't want to miss episodes, especially now. We're going to be, like I said, Ooh, God, that was gross. Well, there goes my train of thought. But we are going to be talking about Sword and Shield for quite a bit, mainly because there is so much about this game to talk about, especially as sort of I play through it and as you guys play through it. There is like I said, this has been a really fun game for me in a way that was almost completely different than the experience I had playing Let's Go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love it for that. I look forward to, you know, sort of seeing what, where we go from here. One thing I did want to do, if you've made it this far listening and you haven't basically given up yet because you've heard the end spiel of it, I'll probably mention this again next week, but I saw a thing going around on Twitter and I really love to see like what our listeners are doing who are playing the game. People are sharing their lineups on Twitter. So share your lineups with us. Share us your nicknames for your Pokemon if you're, if you do that. And what was the other one that we wanted?
How many Pokemon
have you caught in Pokemon Go? All of these things. Hit us up on Twitter. You can find me at Jim Viscardi.
I'm on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I'm at Twitter at C Hoffer C Bus.
It's been a fun one. We'll see you same time, same place next week. We'll catch you then.